the psalm that we read just a few minutes ago, Psalm 47, we were all exhorted to sing praises unto the Lord. What a blessing it is to come together and to worship the Lord in song. What a blessing it is to praise God from whom all blessings flow. If you will tonight, look with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'll begin reading in verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I have another of God's promises for us to look at tonight. It is found in verse 19. We just read it. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm going to mention three things about this promise to us. First, this promise is given in a passage of giving thanks. That is, the Apostle Paul is thanking this church at Philippi, the members of this church, for their consideration, for their communicating with him. Remember, in Acts chapter 16, we learned that God directed Paul and Silas to Philippi. A man of Macedonia, in a vision in the night, said, come over and help us. And as they went to Philippi, we're all familiar with the story of Lydia, how in God's providence she was a lady who sold purple. She was from Thyatira. And on business, we assume she was in Philippi. And she gathered together with others there. There was no synagogue there, obviously, because that's where Paul always went when he would visit a city. If there was a synagogue, he would go there on the Sabbath day, and they would invite him to speak, and he always had an opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there was no synagogue at Philippi, so he went out to where some women gathered for prayer, the scripture says, by a riverside. And there was Lydia. We see God's providence in bringing one of his sheep to hear the gospel, under the sound of the gospel. And the scripture says God opened her heart. Another evidence, another confirmation to you and I who know that salvation is of the Lord. No man can open his own heart to attend unto the things of God. But God opened Lydia's heart so that she attended unto the things spoken by Paul, to the gospel, and God saved her. And then we know that Paul and Silas were beaten and put into prison, and an earthquake came in the middle of the night and opened the doors of the prison, and the jailer and his house were saved. And when the authorities of Philippi were told that at least one of them was a Roman citizen, that is Paul, we know, I don't know about Silas, but Paul was a Roman citizen, and you could not beat a Roman citizen according to the law without a trial. And they had beaten Paul, laid many stripes upon him. And so they sent word unto Paul, why don't you folks just leave town? And he wouldn't do it. Remember, he said, they've put us in the prison. They need to come and conduct us out of the prison. And he went to the house of, I believe it was Lydia. And they stayed there for some time. And then they left Philippi and ended up in Thessalonica. Left Greece and ended up into Thessalonica, which is a city of Asia Minor. Paul wasn't there long. He wasn't in Philippi long. Maybe a few weeks, I'm not sure. But he was there long enough in Philippi. He wasn't in Thessalonica long, but he was there long enough for this church, for the members of the church at Philippi, to send to communicate with him, is the way it reads in our scripture. That is, to send an offering, a help to him, two times, to help him in preaching the gospel. And look at what Paul says about the offering. They sent it by this man Epaphroditus, one of the Philippians. Notice what Paul says about this offering in verse 18, when he says, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, now notice, an odor of a sweet smell. The priest, remember, when they would go into the tabernacle, when they offered sacrifices, they burned incense. They burnt incense. And that Paul is likening this communication, this offering that they had sent to him. He calls it a sacrifice. And it was like an odor of a sweet smell. In other words, in the nostrils of God, what they had done is just a way of showing how God approved of what they had done. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. And we know it was acceptable through Jesus Christ. Only through Christ are we accepted, that is God's people, and only through Christ are the sacrifices that we offer acceptable. You remember a couple of Sundays ago, on Sunday morning, we looked at the fact that all believers are made priests. The apostle in 1 Peter chapter 2 calls us a kingdom, a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood, that every child of God is a priest. And we mentioned or looked at three sacrifices. A priest, what does a priest do? He offers sacrifices. And we saw three sacrifices in the Word of God that we are to offer. And one of them, let's look at that again, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. Hebrews 13 and verse 16, but to do good and to communicate. That's the same word, isn't it, that Paul used. You communicated with me three times. To do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And this church had communicated with him, and Paul refers to it here as a sacrifice, as a sweet smell, a sweet odor, and a sacrifice unto God, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So this promise that we're looking at tonight, for my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The first thing about this promise I mention is that it is given in a passage of giving thanks. That is, Paul is thanking this congregation for their offering, for what they had done. The second thing I mention is this promise is given through his servant Paul. It is Paul who writes, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know, this is the third promise that we've looked at in three Wednesday evenings. The first one was given by his servant Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:13. That promise, you remember, is, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." What a promise is that? What a wonderful promise to know as we go through this life, the trials, the difficulties, yes, even the temptations to sin. There's no temptation that will ever take us, that God will ever allow us to be tempted with, that he will not make a way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. And then we looked at that promise in Hebrews 13, and here his servant Paul quoted. He quoted this promise from the book of Joshua, when God told Joshua, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now this one, again, is given through his servant Paul, inspired by God the Holy Spirit. "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." The third thing about this promise, like all of the promises, is given to encourage, to comfort God's people. When he said, comfort ye, my people. When he said that God will always make a way of escape from every temptation, how is it we will escape? Through the promises, by believing the promise, hearing the promises and believing the promises, appropriating the promises to ourselves. I was thinking as I prepared this message, we're talking about these promises, but let's remember how important faith is, not only to hear the promise, but to believe the promise. You know, you could have all these promises, and there's hundreds of them, no doubt, in the scriptures. You could have them all memorized, and you could have them at your fingertips, so to speak, to repeat. But unless we have faith to believe them, they're not going to help us. We must believe. Him that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. We must believe the promises. Now, the Scripture tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's another reason why we need to be faithful in the services, in the preaching services, to hear the Word of God, in the Sunday school classes, to hear the Word of God, and in our homes to read the Word of God, and to meditate upon the Word of God, to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have these promises, but they will do us no good unless we believe the promiser, believe the promise that God has given us. And this promise tonight is given to comfort, like all the others, to comfort and to encourage God's people. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How are we going to consider this promise? Well, I want us to consider it in the three tenses: past, present, and future. That's the way we will look at it. First, God has, past tense, God has supplied all our need. The greatest need that every person has is a Savior. That's our greatest need. And God has supplied, as this Scripture says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God has supplied, past tense, our greatest need. He has supplied the Savior. We needed cleansing from the filth of sin. He has provided a fountain filled with blood, which is drawn from Emmanuel's veins. We needed healing from the disease of sin. He is the great physician. Christ is. If you think of sin as a disease, I think about the fact that, you know, some diseases, we talk about heart disease, kidney disease, or a disease that only affects one part of your body. But sin is a disease that is spread all over, all of us, all over us, our soul, our body. Sin is that disease. And we needed a physician who could not only diagnose the problem, but had a remedy. Actually, He is the remedy. We needed a Savior, and God has provided. God has supplied all our need. We needed reconciliation to God because of our sin. Sin had separated us from God. We were estranged from God. We had no peace with God. And you look at this passage we read here again in Philippians when it speaks about the peace of God in verse 7. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. You know, another verse tells us that Christ, He is our peace. He is our peace. And the peace of God passes all understanding. The world cannot understand how it is that we may have peace with God. But it has been revealed to us, hasn't it, in the gospel. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That peace passes all understanding. The peace of God. And it is promised to garrison, to keep your hearts like a fort. We might think of it, this garrison, like a fort. You know, we used to see these old cowboy movies, and they'd have of a fort they were building, and the Indians would come and attack, and people would, they would get in the fort. And that's a picture here, this peace of God. It garrisons our heart so that when we are attacked by the enemy, we are safe. Garrisons our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. We needed forgiveness for the offenses, not the offense, but the offenses that we had committed against God. And notice again the promise, God has, past tense, has supplied all our need according to His riches. According to His riches. How do you measure His riches? He's infinite. His riches cannot be measured. And there's an abundance. He's full of grace and truth. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. His riches cannot be measured. And according to His riches in glory, and always by Christ Jesus, always through Christ. The psalmist wrote, let Israel hope in the Lord. Let Israel, that is God's people, the Israel of God, let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord, there's mercy. There's mercy. And with Him, now listen, plenteous redemption. Not just barely enough. Not just barely enough. No, plenteous redemption. Redemption to save, to cleanse the vilest of the vile. Now the fact that He has, past tense, supplied all our need encourages us concerning the present and the future. Like Paul wrote in Romans 8, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Number two, God does present tense. God does supply all our need. Now, Paul, as I said just a few minutes ago, God has given us this promise through His servant, Paul. Paul gives us this promise by experience. Look back to verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul wrote this epistle from prison. He was a prisoner when he wrote this letter. And is there any reason to think that what James wrote about Elijah was not true of Paul? Remember, James said this about Elijah, speaking about him being a man of prayer that he was, but he said he was a man subject to like passions as we are, the Apostle Paul. Is there any reason we shouldn't think that he too was a man just like you and I, subject to like passions? Do you think he knew something about being impatient? Do you think he knew something about being disappointed? Do you think he knew something about being betrayed? Do you think he knew something about being abandoned by friends? We know he did. We know he did. As you read through the book of Acts, he was a man of like passions as we are, and we know that he experienced many of these things that that we experience in this world. But he wrote here that he had learned in whatsoever state, whatsoever circumstance I am. Look at that. Look at the way he wrote this. I have learned, verse 11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am. And then in verse 12, everywhere and in all things, I've learned in whatsoever circumstance I am, everywhere, no matter where he went, preaching the gospel, traveled all over the known world at that time, pretty much, in every state. What are some of the circumstances that he tells us he was in? In 2 Corinthians 11, he names several. I'm not going to name all of them, but he tells of several circumstances. He was beaten, 39 stripes, save one, on more than one occasion. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He suffered shipwreck. He knew what it was to spend a night in the sea. Untold journeys. And if you look at a map, and I encourage you to do that, if your Bible has a map in the back, it usually has one of the travels, the missionary journeys of Paul. Just look and remember, he didn't fly from place to place. He didn't even ride on a camel. He walked from place to place preaching the gospel. That's what he says, everywhere. Every circumstance that I am, everywhere I go, and in all things. He knew something about hunger. He said, I know what it was to be hungry. I know what it was to suffer pain and all kinds of perils. He knew what it was to be in peril, to be in danger in a city. He knew what it was to be in peril and danger in the country. Perils from his countrymen, that is, from the Jewish nation. He knew these things. He mentions many of them. He knew what it was to be cold and to be naked, he says. But look at that word instructed in verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed. I am instructed. That word tells us that he learned by degrees. That all of his experiences, they all contributed to this learning process. And one thing we see about Paul, as you read what is recorded about him, his life changes. His life, it knew ups and it knew downs. He knew what it was to be full. He knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to be, on one occasion, to be have everything, to abound, and then the next day, to have nothing. You know, that's one thing that all of us, we settle into a routine, don't we? We have our lives planned out, our jobs, our families, and we like everything just to run along smooth. And change disturbs us. Well, Paul knew something about change, didn't he? But he said, I'm instructed. All of these things that he experienced, all these life experiences, instructed him so that he learned by degrees to the place that he was able to say, I can do all things. He didn't put a period there, did he? He didn't say, I can do all things, period. Oh, no. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. Paul gives us this promise by experience. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The grace Paul needed and the grace that we need in every circumstance, God has promised to supply. And he does supply. One place he wrote, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. The third, the future, God will supply all our need. You know, there's a promise given to God's people in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 33 and verse 16. It goes like this. He that is a believer shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. The psalmist David, he was able to testify to the fact and say, I have been young and am now old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He will. He has, he does, he will supply all our needs. When it comes time for us to leave this world, we know that the time will come, or the Lord will come. If he comes first, we'll all leave together. But if he doesn't, when the time comes for us to leave this world, God will supply the dying grace that we need. And he will not only supply the dying grace that we need, but he will receive us into everlasting habitations, into those mansions that the Lord has prepared for us. This is a wonderful, wonderful promise, like all of the other promises as well. May the Lord bless it to each one of us, and may we have faith to believe God. Believe these promises were not given just for those folks, those early Christians, but they're given for us today, that we might have hope and assurance and confidence. May the Lord bless his word.